need to be take all that for granted. So we just thank each one person for being here. And the God that we serve, Jesus had authority over demons and disease and nature, the effects of sin, over tradition and all people. And we just come before him today acknowledging he is God. And as we worship together, I think the songs selected were selected by the church leaders. So just enter into worship.
Okay, well, welcome this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up on this first song for this morning's offering, and it is going for the Pastoral Support Fund. And the children may also come up to give their coins for My Coins Count.
Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to gather here today at church, Lord, and to worship you, Lord. Thank you for our Sunday school teachers and our pastors, Lord. And we ask that this offering would Take care of their financial needs, Lord, as they spend time in your word, preparing to share with us what you have laid on their hearts, Lord. Thank you for the dedication of Larry and Tony and Sheldon and Dwayne, Lord, that they have stepped up, Lord, and answered your call. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
And I just invite you to stand, if you're able, as we continue to worship.
Darkness, my God, bear. Let my heart burn when you speak a word, it will
Father, we just thank you for your presence with us here this morning. And God, we just thank you for our leadership team. Just pray your blessing on them this morning. And just thank you for the work that they do for us, for your church, and for you ultimately. God, we just pray your blessing on them. And we lift Ken now as he brings us your message this morning. Pray that you will fill him with the words that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
But I'm going to invite all the children to come front. We're going to sit over here, Jansen, okay? Yes. Hey guys. All right. Good to see all of you. I'm trying to be brave too. You were brave in coming front. I'm trying to be brave because the secret is I don't like being in front of all these people. Okay. But we learned that in Sunday school, we learned that Jeremiah knew that God was going to be with him. So I have to remember that, all right? Right. Okay. God is with us. Okay, okay. Can I ask you a question? Okay. I'm glad you guys are excited. All right. How many of you like to go on hikes or walks?
Yeah.
All right. Do you take your dog for a walk, Haley? I love going for a walk with my chocolate lab. In fact, if I'm not getting her on a leash quick enough, she'll look in my window and just stare at me and start whining. Okay, Gavin, listen up. Listen up. So on my walk with my dog, I pass these two sources of water. So that is the Black Creek right there, and then that's a pond that sits back off of the, beside the Black Creek. So if it was a hot, hot day, which one would you want to cool off in?
And no one to waste fresh water.
Yeah. Why don't you want to jump off that diving board and go into that pond? Why not? You see that green stuff there?
Yeah.
That's a little scummy looking. I wouldn't want to jump in there.
No.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to read a verse. Right. Yeah. If you ever come to my house in the summer, I can take you down to that Black Creek. It's fun to play in.
I kind of swimmed in that.
Okay. All right. Listen to this verse. In John 7, 37. It says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." So now which one looks like it's flowing? The first picture, the creek, right? I have to confess that I had Jesus inside of me, but sometimes I got like that stagnant pond. I didn't share Jesus. Like he wants, when Jesus lives inside of you, he wants you to share his love with others. Okay, Gavin. Okay. So what is one way you can share Jesus with others? Do you have any ideas? Ella? Tell them about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You can invite a friend to Sunday school. Go ahead, Paige. How can you tell others about Jesus?
Like people that are from new countries, like Jacob and Magali, that's in the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob, and it's their first day of our church being here. We can welcome them.
You're right. We can welcome people that are here for the first time. And then those that have visit come back from Costa Rica. Okay, one more time. One more, go ahead.
And praying to Jesus.
You can pray for friends and neighbors, right. All right. Well, we're going to try something here this morning. I brought a pitcher of water, and who do you think that represents? What did we just talk about? Who said they're like living water? Jesus, right. I heard you. So, parents, I'm sorry if they come back a little wet, but we're going to, can you pass these cups down the row? Oops, let me get one for Logan. You want to be the one who starts it? So when I was a little girl, my parents told me about Jesus, and I accepted Jesus in my heart. And then I have a responsibility to share that with others. So Logan, do you want to come over here to Greta? We're going to try to pass this water down the line. Can you do it really carefully? It's just a visual so that once we have Jesus inside of, we can't keep him to ourselves. We'll become like that stagnant pond. We got to share it with others. You are. Sit down. You're going to get some. Thank you, Jasmine. Now you need one. How about you just stand here, Jasmine? Jasmine, come here. Can Jasmine sneak in here?
Yeah.
So she doesn't get missed. Gavin, can you pass some water to Jasmine? Good job. I'm impressed. You guys are doing really, really good. All right. Can you do that while I explain another way to share Jesus with others on the other side of the world? Good job. How many remember what these, this is like the third year our church is packing shoeboxes. Do you remember a little bit about this? Go ahead, Paige.
Like a store buys some shoes.
Right. There's shoeboxes in both lobbies, and you can pack, go shopping with your parents and find something for a boy or girl and pack in like a stuffed animal or shoes or some toothbrush, not toothpaste because that bursts. Anything in here that's not liquid. And then you can bring them back here, and then they're going to have a prayer time for the kids that will receive these. And then they go on a ship or a boat to another far, far away. Thank you. So this is just an example of sharing Jesus with children far, far away. Okay? Did everybody get one? Ken got one. Good job. It made it down the line. All right. So let's pray and ask Jesus to help us to share that living water. Jesus is that living water with others. And we can do that also through shoeboxes. Okay? Can we pray? Okay, yeah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for you being the living water. Thank you that each of these children have heard about you, and I pray that they would allow you to be Lord of their lives someday. And even now, they can share your love to children and their schools and their neighborhoods and even around the world by packing a shoebox. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I can take your cups, and then there's a little water bottle up here, and I figured you'd want more besides the water. So grab a granola bar there, too. And you may go back to your parents. All right. You didn't get wet, did you?
It made it the whole way to me. As we've been going through the answers in Genesis Sunday school curriculum, sometimes it is a little staggering. When you think of leaders, how many leaders are represented in the Bible that struggled or outright disobeyed God willfully? Blatantly, and how few leaders really follow God faithful to the end. Other times, people followed God faithfully to the end and led God's people faithfully, but when they died, the people went astray. So the whole job of leadership is a human challenge, I guess I would say. And as I work with leaders through the years, I say one of the things, one of the struggles with a leader is you always feel like everybody's lagging behind, and that's the fact that you're the leader, and it's just going to be that way. So leaders are people who receive, just in the secular world, a political leader, a business leader, they receive a collective thought of the people they are serving, the people they're leading, and that might be how they decide how they lead. Whereas a church leader or a spiritual leader goes beyond that. It isn't only what everyone else thinks, and you put that together into a package. They have to hear and be able to see, hear from God and be able to see beyond what even their congregation is saying or what the world is saying to what is God calling me to do. So in the Old Testament, there were patriarch leaders like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was other leaders like Moses. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were like they were the family leader. Moses was like their spiritual leader as they left Egypt. And then we had judges, we had kings, we had prophets, we had priests, all those, even in Israel and Judah, the two split nations of the people of God, the Israelites, as we just studied in the Kings, they had, I think it was 19, if you did walk through the Bible, we had no good kings in the kingdom of the north. But in the south, there was a handful. And I guess in my lifetime, I have, well, also in Bible times, but just observed how sometimes leaders are very faithful and committed at the beginning, but as time goes on, they can be led astray. And it's a real rarity to find someone who has been a leader for a long period of time and still following God. And then it seems like you take this vision or this gift or this precious gospel, the good news, the life of God, and you want to pass it on to the next generation. It just seems like it so often gets dropped. And I just wanted to commend the children that are up here. That water made it all the way down that row. I don't know if anybody even got wet, but it made it to me at the end. Just if you can catch that idea of a spiritual leader being able to pass that on from one generation to another. And so my title of the sermon this morning is Thanks. Thanks for the people in your life and my life who have successfully poured that water into my cup, and as I pour that water into somebody else's cup. It maybe doesn't seem like that hard of a job, but it is a real accomplishment to carry that out through your lifetime. So I want to just look at two passages in Luke 7 and Luke 17, that are two examples of what leaders pass on. Luke chapter 7, 36 is a story about a Pharisee, a woman, Jesus, and the other guests. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the religious leaders, the people in the synagogue would have been the cultural, social, and spiritual leaders of that time. So the Pharisee was the guy who invited it to his house. And I want you to think as I read this about how this, there's the first part is the action, and then there's like what goes around the action in the next part of the passage. And I want you to think about having a conversation with God the way this Pharisee did, in the fact that only one person was talking, one person was thinking. The Pharisee was thinking, and Jesus was answering his thoughts. And I just wanted you to think about what it would be like for you if you would be sitting here right now thinking, and Jesus would start answering your thoughts, just like you were having a conversation with him, but you were putting on the filter, you know. My wife tells me that I should use a filter so that when all the stuff that goes through my head doesn't need to be said. Like, I should just pick out a few of the things that are useful and pass them along. And so the Pharisee had his filter on. He was thinking these thoughts, but he's like, I don't want to say that. And then Jesus is like answering his thoughts and illustrating to him how his thoughts are not, they might be okay from the natural point of view, but they're not okay from the spiritual point of view. It's not the way God sees it. A good spiritual leader helps you to do that. It helps you to go beyond the natural view into the spiritual and see something beyond what maybe is logical. Luke 7:36 says this. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. And so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. This is the action part of this story. The prominent person and Jesus and maybe a despised person all in the same house. So while that was happening, and here's the Pharisee. When the Pharisee had invited Jesus, saw this, he said to himself, these were his thoughts, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, and so he canceled the debts of both. So Jesus said, now which one will love him more? I guess Simon thought this might be a trick question, so he said, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and spoke to Simon. I have come into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. You did not give me a kiss, and you did not put oil on my head. He said, you did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman has been kissing my feet since she got here. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Just thinking about Jesus and the foot washing and everything that he demonstrated, in this case, he's pointing out three things that would be common gestures of respect and honor that the owner of the house could have done for him as a guest coming in. But that was not done. And yet here is this woman who came in and washed his feet, wiped them with her hair, kissed his feet, and anointed his feet. This was, as Jesus being a leader, this is a teaching moment that he wanted to get Simon to understand. The difference between when something's really important to you and when it's not. Simon was, Simon the Pharisee. The Pharisees were always trying to figure Jesus out. They're always trying to logically understand. They're always saying, if this is true, then this must be true. Why are you doing this? You should be doing this. That was their whole premise. And Jesus, as a spiritual leader in this situation, was helping Simon understand that loving God does not always follow logic, and that loving God does not always fit the normal protocol. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, her sins, many sins are forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven loves little. Then Jesus said to her again, your sins are forgiven. Finally, the other guests began to say among each other, who is this that even forgives sins? But Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Good godly leaders help us answer the question, what really matters? Is the right answer what really matters, or the right response? Is a heart turned from against God toward God what matters? Which is more important? Is it more important to live a perfect life so that you never sin, or to realize that you're a sinner and come and cling to Jesus as your Savior? Jesus is teaching that even if we tried to live a perfect life, we wouldn't be perfect. But if we accept Christ's sacrifice as our payment for our sins, we can be free from the punishment of sin because of that. I think sometimes as a leader goes on, they might catch that vision from the beginning, and then over time, I always said when I was a youth pastor that the first years I just did things like this is what I think God wanted me to do. As time went on, I started to think about the consequences of those things, like who's going to call me about this or who's going to call me about that if we do this. And it was more of a challenge the longer I was a pastor to be fresh with what God's asking, how God's asking me to lead, as opposed to what will be the consequences of all these from the current, from the parents, from the leaders, from the students, whatever. And it's work to overcome that. It's the grace of God that helps you to still lead faithfully. I have this quote in my office that says, if you want people to like you, don't be a leader, sell ice cream. And so it's not always easy, but it takes the effort. Good spiritual leaders take the extra effort to do the right thing, not the easy thing. In this story, Jesus demonstrated what it was to give good spiritual leadership. He demonstrated his power over sin, his power over sinful nature, and his power over tradition in that calling people to the ways of God. And I feel like that's one of the things that our leaders in our congregation have helped us to do. So I want to say thanks for each of you as you do that. The other story I would like to look at is in Luke 17. Luke 17, 11 to 19 talks about the 10 healed of leprosy. And the previous passage that we just read, the woman was thanking God before he even spoke the words, "You're forgiven, go in peace." In this story, the lepers are calling out. And I've thought about lepers a lot in the last year and a half, or however long it is that COVID has been around. And I've said various times that it seems like, and this is not a spiritual truth, it's just a Ken's observation. It seems like there was the lepers had to go around saying, "Unclean, unclean, you can't come near me." There was social distancing was that part of the culture for anyone who was a leper. But there was no rule about the lepers couldn't get together. And somehow it seemed like there was people who never come in contact with any COVID, and they were trying to set up boundaries so that that would never happen. And then there was other people who had come in contact, and it's like they were already exposed, and there was like not that rule. And it reminded me of the whenever Samaria was under siege, and the lepers were outside, and they figured they were going to die, so they just went to the camp outside and realized that they had all fled and all this food was out there, and they ate as much as they wanted, and all of a sudden they realized, you know, even though we're lepers, this isn't right that we're not sharing this with other people. So they went and told the rest of the people. So the lepers were outcasts. They were social distance. They had to stay far away. But when Jesus is on his way in Luke 17:11, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled the border between Samaria and Galilee. I'm not sure what that looked like. My picture in my mind is like a walking a fine line, like on the Great Divide, where the water goes either the east or the west. Galilee was the chosen people, and Samaria was the despised people in that time. And so Jesus is walking this line toward Jerusalem, where he was going to pay for everybody's sins, the people on both sides of the fence. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village, and 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they were cleansed, as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back and praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was none found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I think when Jesus healed, power went out from him. There's some places in the Bible where it says the power was present for Jesus to heal. I don't know how that was different from other times, but it took it took power, and it also says that Jesus took their infirmities. I don't know, and took their sins. I don't know how that happened. I just know that it took something out of him to heal people, even though he was God. It reminded me of a organic farmer I was at the other day. He has a, they're not allowed to use pesticides or anything to kill the weeds, so he has a weed zapper. He has this big boom on the front of his tractor that he drives through the field, and it's charged with current, and when it touches it, the weed dies just from being electrocuted. And he told me that if it's, like, this big tractor, 230 horsepower, he said if it's full weeds across there and you're driving too fast, you can stall the tractor. It takes that much power to energize that bar whenever something's taking the current out. And so Jesus' power was going out from Jesus to heal the lepers. Nine of them, they were all healed, but nine of them just went on their way, and only one came back to give thanks. I just want to say that when your spiritual leaders take care of the funeral for your loved one, when they counsel your teenager, when they visit the sick, when they prepare a message, I just want to say that that takes energy. If you've ever done that, you know that it takes energy. And that it just doesn't happen just like falling off a tree, you know. It is effort goes into that. Anyone who's a leader knows that being a leader takes energy. Jesus noticed the person who gave thanks. That didn't mean he didn't heal the others, but he took notice of the person that gave thanks. Are you and I people who give thanks for the people who put their energy into our lives? How do we do that? I have two books up here. This one is my black book. It has a lot of songs in that I sing on Monday nights with whoever comes out, and my Bible up here. Two important books to me. One's the Word of God. The other one is oftentimes based on Scripture, but it's words that we use to thank and honor God. And I guess as I was preparing for this sermon, the pastor that was my pastor when I was a teenager at the church I went to, he just passed away. His funeral was last Thursday, so he passed away at the end of last week. And he was in the hospital struggling for his health, and my aunt died, and the funeral was, and he was scheduled to be her pastor at the funeral. And even in the hospital sick, he wanted to be there, and they wouldn't let him out of the hospital because he wanted to be there. He wanted to put his energy into helping the people from his congregation, even up until the end. And he spoke at our wedding when Ann and I got married. And one of the things he said, and hopefully as a leader, there's other people that remember things I say, but one of the things he said at that time was, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And that was a way he lived and demonstrated that, and I just want to, I have thanked him, but I want to thank him again, even though he's in heaven, for the way he invested in my life. And Nelson was not a perfect pastor, but then again, I probably wasn't a perfect church member, just say that right from the start. But somehow, Nelson took the word and the music that he had, and he placed it in many people's hands. He gave this gift to, like, planted seeds everywhere. One of the things he did was, he was chaplain for the local police, and so anytime there was a suicide or any difficult situation, they called him to go along out, and he went out with them to the scene or to with the family or whatever. And he planted many seeds. He took that and passed it on, just like these children passed that water down that road today. And all church leaders do that. Parents do that. Business leaders do that. And you hope that the water makes it to the end. And you know, the interesting thing, it wasn't like Whisper Down the Lane, that it started out as water, and by the time it got down to me, it was muddy murky something. It was still clean water by the time it got to me. It's right here. But he passed that along to me, and I think as I was preparing for this, and I was processing that time in my life when maybe never in your life is your life stable, but it probably was less stable when I was a teenager. At the time that he passed it on, and I'm sure it looked like I was going to spill it many times, and I probably did spill a fair amount, but it reminded me of my responsibility to pass that on to someone else and to thank Nelson for believing in me, that even though it looked like I couldn't hold it and I was going to spill it, that he had the faith to let me try. Your leaders here believe in you, and they're passing on that cup of water, that word of scripture, that message in a song for you to pass on. And the mission of this morning is to thank them for that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the vessels that we are, cracked and struggled as it can be. And we thank you for church leaders who faithfully hear from you and pour that water into our lives, put that priceless gift into our hands. And we thank you for all that. We thank you today for the people who have just recently passed on, Alan Gaiman and Mary Musser's father, who have done that. We thank you for the families that are here left behind. We just pray that they could trust you to pass on what was passed on to them. We just pray for the people who are struggling with their health, whether it's COVID or surgeries or injuries. And as the pastors here, connect and support and walk alongside, as power goes out for them, that thanks will energize them to continue to do their job even more. And we thank you for your faithfulness and guiding anybody who says, I want to be a faithful God follower all my days. I don't just want to do things right. I want to love you like this woman did. I want to love you like the Samaritan leper did. That's a way of saying thanks to your pastor as well, demonstrating that in your life. And we just thank you for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I think Carrie Haller has something to present.
Okay, I'm one of the members of the PCRC committee, along with my wife Audrey and Harold and Ruth Ann Eberly and Ammon and Christine Martin, who couldn't be here this morning. We just wanted to say to the leadership team, you guys, we really appreciate the time that you put into serving us here and all the work that you do and sacrifices you make. And we have a gift here for you guys if you want to come up and get them.
not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. The wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you.
I invite you to stand for a benediction, and just remind you that smell you're smelling is coming from downstairs, and there's food for a fellowship meal. We'll have a prayer for the meal after the benediction. You can exit down to my left through the overflow and enjoy food and fellowship down there. There'll be plenty of food. We've always said that, and it's always been true, so don't worry about eating too much on account of the food. All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And Father, we just thank you for our pastors and for the food that's prepared. Just pray that our fellowship could be encouraging and that we would be thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.